Has anybody looked up Alex Jones since I talked about him? Infowars.com. Interesting site. I like the guy, as I said, but he's actively fighting the New World Order, and he's a good guy. Therefore, the good guys are going to take over the bad guys, but the good guys are going to be the real bad guys because of the posing of the bad guys as the good guys fighting the bad guys. Good morning. I hope I didn't confuse you. This is Martin Zunder, and you are at the Revelation series. And another thing about Alex Jones and other really large personages in the alternate media is that he's a Donald Trump supporter. And again, here's another perfect example, really, of setting up a terrible evil, which is Hillary Clinton, and then having someone who's going to get things right and do things, get things done, somebody who's actually worked for a living, Donald Trump, and then say, oh good, Donald Trump is going to rescue us from radical Islam, he's going to rescue us from overflowing illegal alien problems, he's going to finally bring people up to a standard of work and accomplishment. Just suppose he does all these things. I mean, just suppose, okay? Indulge my little fiction here, okay? I think that's going to happen. And so, but it, again, it's the same scenario as the good guys rescuing the world from the New World Order. We have someone who possibly could be a Reagan or a Lincoln and rescuing us from the obvious evil of Hillary Clinton. I mean, if you don't see by this time that this is the most corrupt politician that ever ran for office, then all right, whatever. But if you're following now my scenario today and comparing it with my scenario of yesterday, you'll see that Donald Trump then has the most practical, defensible chance, quote unquote, of becoming the man of lawlessness or an assistant to the man of lawlessness. The man of lawlessness and the true New World Order is going to rescue us from the bad people and from the bad New World Order. And again, the adversary is set up by the adversary so that a worse adversary that poses as a messenger of light can overtake the adversary that doesn't have the decency to pose as a messenger of light. There's the obvious slimy evils, right? And so, like the New World Order people, the slimy evils, Hillary Clinton, I'm sorry, let's not call her slimy, I will say a dirty evil. So see, these are the obvious evils, like everybody knows that. So then we have a worse evil, which is the people, the Christian group who are rescuing us from the New World Order, and let's say Donald Trump, who has the decency to be disguised as a messenger of light. And our rescuers are disguised as messengers of light. I'm going to go to that verse when I talk about the movie industry here soon. But along the line of Donald Trump, I had a friend of mine wrote me and said, he was asking about the last Trump in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I said, well, Donald is the last Trump. It was a joke, you see, a joke. He wrote me an interesting email in return. He says, that's funny about Donald being the last Trump, but I don't think he will be. You've been talking a lot about how the Jews are in so many positions of power. I mean, I hope he didn't think I was serious, that I thought that when the trumpet begins to sound and the dead being raised, and then at the last Trump, we will be roused. We will be changed together with the dead, those of us who are alive, snatched away together. I hope he didn't think that we were suddenly going to see Donald Trump's face instead of Jesus Christ. I was joking, but it sounds like he took me seriously here. I don't think he will be the last Trump. I think you're wrong, Zunder. You've been talking a lot about how the Jews are in so many positions of power. Well, Donald has said that he would most likely give his daughter Ivanka a cabinet position. I would give Ivanka a cabinet position myself. That's me talking back to the email. And guess what? Her husband, that is Ivanka's husband, is Jewish. And she converted to Judaism and even took the name Yael. Y-A-E-L. Yael. 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 Hebrew word for the Nubian ibex. You can't make this stuff up. The Jewish name Ivanka Trump took is Yael, which is Hebrew for Nubian ibex. Now, this is just me, but that kind of excites me a little bit. Nubian ibex. That's very sexy to me. I'm sorry. Which is a type of goat. All right. Well, there's a buzzkill. And then, strangely enough, her husband, Jared Kushner, who is also a real estate tycoon, bought an office building in New York at 666 Fifth Avenue. Now, this business of this 666 stuff, I see that as a complete coincidence. I mean, it's just too obvious. So, boom, and this is true. Now we may see Jews in power at the White House as well. Well, that would be exciting, and I don't doubt that that's going to happen. Based on this info, all this info, my friend says, is available on Wikipedia. That is on Ivanka and Jared. Ivanka, cabinet position. Well, I would not mind having Ivanka over me. I also wouldn't mind if she ran for public office. All right, see, where was I? All right, I'm going to go to the... What? Yeah, it could all be... Well, the question is, am I saying Trump is the Antichrist, and why does a U.S. president have to be the Antichrist? No, forget that. A U.S. president does not have to be the man of lawlessness, but it can be someone associated with that person, someone in the circle, in the cabinet, the vice presidency, Speaker of the House, the Secretary of State. Especially the Secretary of State is a person with international connections, the liaison between the president and other factions, other nations. And so that's an intriguing possibility as well. It doesn't have to be a United States person at all. In fact, this is interesting. In A. Enoch's book on the book of Daniel, he cites the little horn that is spoken of in Daniel. It's the little horn that's going to speak blasphemies, and the little horn is metaphorical for the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness. And the little horn that comes out of the big horn, and in the context of Daniel, the big horn is Alexander the Great, who was the king, the leader of the Grecian Empire, the Greeks. And so the Antichrist, this is a theory, a supposition maybe, based on, what do they call it when I was in science class? On hypothesis. A hypothesis is an educated guess. So the educated guess of an educated man who was thoroughly saturated in the Word of God, correctly translated, A. Enoch, said that he would not be shocked at all if the man of lawlessness had a Greek extract. Could be a Jewish Greek. A Greek doesn't mean not a Jew. Now, as you can see, I'm adjusting my lamp here in the studio, and I have a rainbow here. Do you see that? I've created a rainbow with my light, which Judy ought to really appreciate, because Judy and I are both somewhere over this rainbow. Actually, Judy, we're under it. I'm excited about that, to be here with you in this situation. I wish you could sing that famous song to me. All right, this is distracting. Let me get rid of the rainbow. So let's go back to, this is interesting, because A. Enoch lived in Los Angeles, where the movie industry flourished back in his day, and it is still flourishing there. Here it is. As I have never seen a movie, and he puts it in quotation marks. I guess that was a new word for movie. It used to be the motion pictures. Think of how primitive of a name that is. Motion pictures. It was a big deal when things started to move on the screen. It was a big deal when, was it Thomas Edison invented the motion picture projector? And somebody got the brilliant idea of running still images past a light. And this began a true tool of mesmerization. There's something hypnotic about it, because these images run, whether they're pixelated or whether they're actual images, analog, running past a light on a projector, they're coming very fast. Even a television, as I said before, is a cathode ray, just zoo, 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 zipping back and forth on the screen so fast that you just, it looks like one image to you, but it's a deception. Just like all the pixels that you see in an image, it's a deception, but your mind isn't fast enough to pick up the constant changing of the picture. That's constantly a new picture, a new picture, a new picture. It happens so fast. My question is, what else is happening so fast? You've heard that they've put subliminal, advertisers have put subliminal messages in films. I heard about this when I was in grade school, back in the 60s. They, like, for instance, at a movie theater, the images are going by so fast, but they would put one frame of, say, a Coca-Cola in the film, and that Coca-Cola would go by, and you wouldn't even realize it. All of a sudden, you're thinking, yeah, I could really use me a Coca-Cola. Or they'd put a big, juicy tub of popcorn overflowing with butter, maybe two frames of that. It goes by so fast, you consciously don't see it, but your subconscious sees it. And this is a profound thought. Suddenly, out of nowhere, it seems, you think, man, I really am craving buttered popcorn. And so at intermission, or right then and there, you jump out of your seat and you go and buy a Coke and a popcorn, never knowing why. It's almost like God, right? These subliminal advertisers. And I used to hear that they put, like, things in ice cubes. When you see a drink advertised and you look at the ice cube, and they put images in the ice cube that you really don't consciously see, but it subconsciously makes an impression on you. I'm thinking of the impressionist painters too. They're masterpieces. I saw at the New York Metropolitan Museum of Art how the impressionists would not give you a literal interpretation of things, but they would make an impression on you with how the light fell upon the subject, and without preaching to you something, you would get a feeling about it, which sometimes possibly could be even more powerful than a literal interpretation than somebody telling you, coming off, well, in this case, obviously, some guy at the movie theater marching down the aisle like a Russian cosmonaut or a Russian whatever not, eat popcorn now, you go get popcorn, you go buy Coca-Cola by gunpoint. That's not going to make you do it. So it's not that way. It's subliminal. Everything Satan does today to deceive you is subliminal, and he uses light. I was going to talk about that today, but I'm seeing my time disappearing. And so these things, it's so ingenious, because it's happening without the victims of it being aware that it's happening. And that's why I was just talking to a friend yesterday who said, you know, Martin, unless we stay in the Word in one way or another, by listening to you or by reading good books, say from the Concordant Publishing Concern, or by reading the scriptures correctly translated, or by listening to good talks on the Bible, unless we do this, then we're going to lose it. We can lose our allotment. We can't lose our salvation, but we can become dull. We can lose an edge, and we can become seduced by the world. It's always right there, ladies and gentlemen. It's right outside your door. It's like the cold ready to come in the house in the wintertime, and the thermostat is on, and when the thermostat is on, it pushes that cold out. But as soon as the thermostat reaches the target temperature and shuts down, instantly the cold starts to creep back in until the temperature goes down and kicks on the thermostat once again. It's the same thing. The influence of the world is constantly banging at the windows of our soul, wanting entry. And it's very seductive, and we all succumb to it once in a while. But unless that thermostat within kicks in, the Spirit of God, then it will creep into us. and we take willful action. I know we don't have free wills. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we make conscious decisions that are influenced by God, of course, that I need to spend time either contemplating the Word of God, reading the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, discussing the Word of God with fellow believers. Because if this is neglected, then this mesmerizing light and this mesmerizing system will corrupt us, break into pieces our apprehensions. Paul doesn't want that for us. Paul believed in the absolute viewpoint, but he was also a guy, nuts and bolts, rubber meets the road kind of guy. And he says, I want your apprehensions single. I want to present you like a chaste virgin to Christ, uncorrupted. Don't be deceived like Eve was deceived. Why these exhortations if it's impossible for us to be corrupted? It's quite possible. Let's keep ourselves from it by being awashed in the Word of God.